to Matthew chapter 7. We began the Sermon on the Mount last November. We come to the conclusion of it this morning, and it's a fantastic conclusion to what is without a doubt the greatest sermon that was ever preached, the sermon that our Lord preached on the Mount of Beatitudes. We'll be in chapter 7, verses 25, 24 through 27 this morning. Let's pray. Father, I pray that as your people, we would continue to stay true to the life that you have called us to. That we would be those who live lives of obedience, knowing that that's the safest path. Lord, I want to thank you this morning that you are so willing and you desire so much that our lives are protected, that our lives are safe, that will stand firm through the storms of life. And Lord, you've given us the plan. You've given us the procedure. I pray, Lord, that we would just simply obey you now. I pray, Lord, that you would bless this Bible study by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. On October 29th, 1929, a day in history known as Black Tuesday, the stock market crashed. It lost 40% of its value and $26 billion in wealth vanished in just 3 months. It took 25 years for the market to get back to its pre-crash level. More than 9,000 banks failed. Businesses closed. Unemployment soared to more than 25%, and people's savings were wiped out. Of course, in history, you know that this brought in the Great Depression. People who were rich became poor overnight. Many were homeless, and that was a crash that you could hear and feel around the world. Almost 2 years ago now, on another Black Tuesday, September 11th, 2001, remember, the Twin Towers went down in New York City, and oh, what a crash that was. You could hear that one around the world, too. You remember? And the world has changed ever since. And I remember watching that on TV and just thinking, this can't be happening. How is this possible? To see all that devastation and all those people affected. It is a terrible thing when the society in which we live experiences crashes like that. It's horrible. You understand how vulnerable you are, how frail you are, even as an American, living in the United States of America, and you understand how much you need the Lord and how much you need to trust in God. And it's terrible to see that big of a crash in society and how it impacts so many people. What an awful thing. But I want you to know that it's just as terrible to watch one life crash right in front of your eyes. What a horrible thing it is to watch somebody's life self-destruct. To watch somebody's life collapse. To watch it bottom out. There they are living a life. They know they shouldn't be living it that way. And then right about somewhere along the way, it just collapses. You watch them go down. I don't enjoy seeing that happen to anybody. It even brings me pain to see it in the lives of some celebrities. I mean, it gives great pain to see what's going on with Kobe Bryant, Martha Stewart. And they've made some decisions that they're going to suffer consequences for. But oh, to see a life falling apart right in front of you. My brother and sister in Christ, if you're even listening just a little bit, you'll hear crashes all around you. You'll hear people's lives self-destructing. The person in your life who's going through a failed marriage, that's a crash. There are people in your life who are going through crashes that are associated with reckless living. They've been out in the world and there they are being sexually careless, and now they get a disease or an unwanted pregnancy and it all comes tumbling down. Or the person that's involved in the party scene and the drinking, and they get addicted and they get imprisoned to it and they lose their businesses and they lose their families and it just comes crashing down. Or then there's the people in your life who are just crashing under the stress of life. Just the pressures of everyday life. Depressed, nervous breakdown. Do you hear them? Do you see them? Do you notice them? What about your own life? Is it safe? Or do you have a life that could end in a great crash? Do you stand firm under the pressures and problems of life? As Jesus finishes up the Sermon on the Mount, he tells us how to crash-proof our life. How to make sure that we're safe. How to make sure that when after all is said and done, after the storm has come, you're still standing. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful conclusion. Let's read it. Let's read what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7. Verse 24, he says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall." You know, Jesus is the master of illustrations, isn't he? I mean, that is just such a crystal clear picture that he paints before us. The analogy is so beautiful. You got two builders that represent two different types of people who are trying to put a life together. They're living life. They're building their life. One of these builders is wise. The other builder is a fool. The house that they're building represents the life that they're constructing, what they're doing with their life. The foolish builder has built his life upon sand. It's a weak foundation. The wise builder has built his life upon the rock. It's a wise, awesome, strong foundation. And you know, it's interesting, you can't see foundations. No doubt these houses may have looked very similar. They might even be in the same neighborhood. But you don't see the foundations, you don't see what really is making that person tick, but it's so different. The storm that comes represents trials, stresses, pressures in life that come our way. The foolish man who built his life upon the sand is completely devastated in the face of a storm. He falls, he crashes completely, totally. The wise man who's built his life upon the rock, when that storm comes, he stands, he's firm, he's solid. Which one do you want to be? We want to be the wise builder. We want to be building our lives upon the rock, upon the strong foundation that we may stand. And Jesus tells us how to do that. He shares with us here in the conclusion of this sermon about that. And you know, the first thing that I see Jesus teaching us and telling us in this passage, the first thing I think we need to see is that Jesus wants us to recognize that all people will face storms. I see that very clearly in this passage. All the people are facing storms. All people will face storms. In fact, all people will face severe storms. I mean, look how Jesus paints the picture of this storm. Look in verse 25 again. He's talking about the storm. It says, the rain descended. In the Greek, it thinks a torrential downpour. Just a gush of water from the clouds. The rain descended, the floods came. The Greek word for flood could also be translated in the New Testament, river. Large amounts of water flowing by. And of course, when that happens in a river, it's okay, it's under control. But this is a large flow of water gushing out of control, bombarding the house. It says the winds blew violently in the original language. It's a violent windstorm. The winds beat upon that house, hit the house, slammed the house, coming against the house, rushing against the house. I mean, this is a very, very severe storm that Jesus is painting. And you know, this poor house is catching it from all directions. Rain from above, floods from below, wind sweeping across it from every angle. This is a storm. It's a severe storm. And you know what? We all face them. Every single one of us. And we need to understand that. I mean, you notice in the passage, both builders face the same storm. In fact, if you look at verse 25, it says, the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. That's the wise man. Look at verse 27. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. Same storm, identical, even down to the words that are used. Both builders face the storm. The person who's ready for the storm faces the storm. The person who's not ready for the storm faces the storm. And guys, that's something that we really need to understand, because there are a lot of people who think just because they're, hey, ready for a storm, that keeps them free from any storms. Is that true? Absolutely not. In fact, that's one of the problems that many Christians face. They become Christians and they think, or somebody's told them, and I can't, oh man, if people, you don't tell Christians this. But maybe somebody's been saved, they become a Christian, and somebody tells them, welcome to the walk in the park. Everything's going to be great for you now. You love Jesus, you're following Jesus. Oh, rosy, rosy, rosy. No problems in your life anymore. Storms come in this life, my friend. Storms will come. And I think we do a great disservice to people when we tell them, hey, everything's going to be fine. Come to Christ and everything in your life will just go smooth. I remind you what Jesus told us in verse 13 and 14 of chapter 7. He said, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. There are few who find it. See, Jesus is up front. He tells us, look, you're going to get on a road that leads to heaven, but it's narrow and it's difficult at times. And there are storms. And you know, as I read this passage, man, I see that storms are inevitable. I mean, in verse 25, it doesn't say, if the rain descends, if the floods come, if the winds blow and beat on that house, it will not fall. It's almost like when they come. It's inevitable. If you want to be crash-proof in life, you need to recognize that storms will come your way. And when they come your way, don't be surprised by it. Now, you might be surprised at the type of storm that comes. I've been hit with storms that, whoa! But you should never be surprised about the fact that storms will come. Very, very important thing to understand, because there are many Christians who, like I said, they think everything's going to be fine. And then when they get hit with that storm, they're so taken back by it, they crash. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice in the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. And Jesus told us in the Gospel of John, you will have tribulation in this world. That's a verse in the Bible. You probably haven't underlined it. You know, that's probably not your promise verse. Oh, that blesses me, you know? But it's in the Bible, isn't it? First thing to know to just crash-proof your life, listen, my friend, there are storms. Now, I don't want you leaving here just paranoid about storm, looking for storm. When's the next storm coming? You don't live that way. No, you don't live that way. And don't get me wrong, the Christian life is a life of joy, peace, and victory, my friend. But listen, there can be some tough things that you'll face in this life, even as a Christian. And don't let that just totally cause your entire life to collapse. It's one thing to remember to crash-proof your life. In this passage, Jesus tells us how to crash-proof our life in the midst of a storm, not how to storm-proof our life. Storms are coming. Recognize that fact. Second thing we need to do in order to crash-proof our life, Jesus says the whole key is in what's the foundation of your life. And he says, if you want to be strong in the storms that will inevitably come your way, and you want to be standing after the storm comes, then you need to be a person who is exposed to the Word of God, who's hearing the Word of God, and obeying it, and applying it, and taking hold of it. It is absolutely not enough just to go to church and be exposed to the Bible, or just to open your Bible and expose yourself. You got to obey it. And you see that principle in both builders. You see the bad example with the foolish builder, and you see the great example with the wise builder. Let's look at the foolish builder first. Look what it says of him in verse 26. Everyone who hears these sayings of mine, Jesus says, and does not do them, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Very clearly here, the person who has got a weak foundation in life, the person who has built his house upon the sand, is the person who's heard the words of Jesus Christ, exposed himself or herself to the teachings of Jesus Christ, yet has not acted upon those words. That's the foolish man. Now, when Jesus says these words of mine, what's he speaking of? Well, specifically in context, he's speaking of all the words that we've been studying in detail over the last year in the Sermon on the Mount. The life of righteousness, the way into the righteous kingdom. The kind of life that he wants us to live as his people. It's not enough to just hear those. You need to do those. Apply those. You would also speak of any other words, I think, that Jesus has mentioned. Like things that he said in the Gospel of John, where he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody gets to the Father but through me. Or words that he says, recorded elsewhere in Scripture, say in Revelation chapter 3, where he says, behold, I stand at the door of your heart and I'm knocking. And if anyone will open the door, and I'll come in and I'll sup with you. And really, Jesus wrote the whole book too, didn't he? Who wrote the book? God, the author, he wrote this book. Jesus had a part in the whole written word of God. Listen, the foolish man, the person building on a weak foundation, is someone who hears the word of God and doesn't act upon it, doesn't apply themselves to it, doesn't do it. It's the man who hears Jesus say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. They hear that clearly, but then they say, not interested. They know that Jesus is the only way to be forgiven of sins and the only guarantee of salvation. And yet they say, nope, it sounds good, it's nice, it's interesting, but it's not for me. I'm not going to act upon it. You've got a weak foundation. Guys, and it also applies to anybody, Christian or non, who hears the commands in Scripture and says, not interested. Won't do it. You are standing on shaky ground. It's a weak foundation. And here's the deal, guys. When people say no to what Christ has to say, when they say no to what the Word of God has to say, they're saying no to a strong foundation. And you know what a person will then begin to do? They'll begin to build their own foundation. And there's different types of foundations that you can build, but they're all weak. They'll all fail you. There are people who build their whole life upon this false misconception, this misconception that they're all powerful, that they're in control of their lives, they're the captain of their destiny. Hey, it's all about me, and they build their whole life on that. Listen, a storm could come into your life so fast that will knock you off your high horse so fast, leave you on your back looking up, wondering what hit you. Can happen. Or then there are people that begin to build their whole life upon money, wealth, materialism. And they amass for themselves a kingdom, and they're depending upon all that stuff. And you know, in America, we love our stuff, don't we? You know, it's my stuff. I work hard for my stuff. Don't you touch my stuff. That whole mentality that we have as Americans, it's all my... Hey, listen, your stuff will fail you in an hour of need. I've seen it happen. I think one of the saddest things I can remember happening was when I was in high school. I had a very good friend of mine, and he was part of a wealthy family, probably the wealthiest family I've ever known. And just incredible amounts of money that they had. And one afternoon, his mother left, just walked out on the family, hooked up with some other guy, and that was it. And I remember going over to him and sitting in their mansion with the pool and all the sports cars and all the stuff. And the look in my friend's eyes said it all. The look was like this: I would gladly give all of this away to have mommy back. I'd give it all away to have mommy back. See, stuff will fail you in the time of need. It won't matter. You know, there's two wonderful stories in the Bible, one in the Old and one in the New Testament, about a storm that takes place when people are on a boat. You remember Jonah? He gets called by the Lord to go preach in Nineveh, and what does he do? He goes the other way. I mean, prophet Jonah going the other way. I mean, 180 degrees the other way. And he gets on the boat, and there he goes. And of course, God sends a storm, and that boat just rocks. It's about to break apart. In the New Testament, Paul the Apostle gets on a boat headed for Rome. And you remember, there's a big storm that takes place on that portion of Scripture, and it's about to tear apart the boat as well. In both cases, in both stories, the Scripture says that the storm got so bad that they began throwing their tackle overboard. Now, when it says tackle there, it's not a cute little tackle box. You know, with the little things. You know what? The word, it refers to equipment, furniture, all the treasures that they had in the bottom of the boat, the money. I'll tell you what, in a time of storm, he doesn't care. Throw it overboard. Doesn't matter. That stuff will fail you. What does Jesus say about the person who's ignoring the Word of God and not obeying it? Well, it's pretty straightforward there. Verse 26, everyone who hears the saying of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man. Do you notice that Jesus calls the person foolish? That's pretty strong, isn't it? Did you know that in the Greek word, in the Greek it's the word moros? You know what the neuter form of that word is? Moron. Yes, we get the English word moron from that word. Jesus is literally saying, if you hear the word of God and you don't base your life upon it and you don't act upon it, you're living like a moron. It's moronic. Foolish. And it really is. Listen, if God talks to you and you say no, God talking to you, and you say, interesting, but I'll go my other way. That's foolish. And in the story, you got a guy who's building his whole life. He's spending all of his life putting all of his labor into this thing. And it's on sand. How foolish. What kind of storms is a foolish man, can a foolish man expect to face? Well, you know, just... Guys, there are the storms in life that are just a result of living and walking around and breathing on planet Earth. You know, just living on planet Earth in a fallen world, in a fallen body with illness and sickness and things that come our way. You know, just the daily grind of living, the wear and tear of daily life, it can beat you up. And the foolish person in the wake of that blast after blast can eventually just crash if they're not founded on a good foundation. But you know what other storms a foolish man can encounter? Self-made storms. Self-made storms. Because you see, if somebody is not obeying the scripture, then they're no doubt getting involved in activities that are forbidden in scripture. And why does God forbid certain activities in scripture? Why? Because he's a killjoy? Wants to give you a bummer of a life? No, he wants to protect you. He wants to keep you safe. People who ignore the tenets of Scripture, they go out and they involve themselves in activities and they can create their own storms. Because the Bible says there's a law that's true spiritually as it is physically. You will reap what you sow. You will reap what you sow. It says in the book of Galatians, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. That's true for the Christian too, my friend. Anybody who's ignoring the plain commands of Scripture, Christian or non-Christian, and they go for it and live, they'll reap what they sow. They'll create their own storms. It's kind of a sad thing here. I mean, you got a guy who's being exposed to the Word of God. He doesn't do anything about it. Weak foundation. The house is weak. And he's creating his own storms that end to his ultimate demise and crash. Reaping what you sow. True story, there was a young man who was employed by his father, who was a building contractor. And the son was dissatisfied with his wages. One day the father came to him and said, son, here are some blueprints. I want you to have entire charge of this job. Do your best on this house. It's for a special friend. Well, the son thought to himself, this is my opportunity. I will use shoddy material, and I'll cover it up with paint. Father will never know. And I'll put the difference in my pocket. Well, he did that. The house was complete. It looked good on the surface, but underneath, not very good. Well, that young man had just been married. And a few days later, the father came to this son and gave him the keys to that house. He said, here's your marriage present. I knew that you were dissatisfied with the wages that I were giving you, but I've just been waiting all along to bless you with this house. Oh, what a bummer, huh? Oh, can you imagine? It's the law of reaping what you sow. It's foolish. What does it say about this man? Verse 27, the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Megas was its total, complete collapse. The idea is, it was not just a crash, it was a great crash, it was a violent crash, it was a loud crash, people heard it. Just like you hear when people's lives crash, hey, did you hear what happened to so-and-so? Man. It was a complete crash. You know, there are people, there are non-believers and believers who think that they're going to get away with it. There are always those people that say, I understand the law of reaping what you sow, but let me tell you, Pastor, it doesn't apply to me. I'm okay. In fact, I've been bad for a number of years now and nothing's happened yet. I'm just fine. You are heading for a total collapse. And you know, there are some people that think they get away with it for a little while, but there will be a collapse. Complete and total. Interesting, the Leaning Tower of Pisa in Italy is going to fall. Scientists travel yearly to measure the building's slow descent. They report that the 179-foot tower moves about 1/20th of an inch a year, and now it's 17 feet out of plumb. They further estimate that by the year 2007, the 810-year-old tower will have leaned too far and will collapse onto the nearby Ristorante, where scientists now gather to discuss their findings. That word, Pisa, means marshy land. Marshy land. Which gives some clue as to why the tower began to lean even before it was completed. Also, its foundation is only 10 feet deep. It'll happen. Let's talk about the wise man, shall we? Isn't that a better story? Isn't that the camp that we want to be in? Look what Jesus says about the wise man in verse 24. It's very simple. It's just a simple contrast. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The wise man who builds his house on the rock is the person who hears the word of God and obeys it, puts it into practice, acts upon it. He hears my word and he does them. And it's consistent obedience, my friend, to the word of God that keeps you strong. And my friend, that's all over Scripture. James in chapter 1, verse 22 says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." 1 John chapter 3, verse 7, "Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous." Listen, there must be obedience to the word of God, consistent. So, somebody shares with you the gospel message. They say to you, there's only one way to be saved, and that's by giving your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other name under heaven by which someone can be saved. If you're a wise man, you'll act upon it. If you're a wise woman, you'll act upon it. You'll say, "Yes, Jesus, be my Savior. Clean me up." I'll put my life in your hands. And then, Christian, as you become a Christian, listen. Continue to obey the Word of God. Continue in it. This book is many times been likened to the life manual. It's God's manual on life. You know, he's our builder. He knows what makes us tick, and he gave us this book. It's our life manual. This is how to live life. And there's all kinds of things in here that we obey as Christians. Did you know that the Bible is filled with godly advice on how to manage finances? Filled with it. Right down to the details of where you need to invest, how to invest, what to do. Oh man, you build yourself on that? That's really building on the rock. Bible says, hey, husband, this is how you're to operate. Wife, this is how you're to operate. Mom, dad, this is how you're to operate. Child, Susie, Johnny, this is how you're to operate. This is how the family's supposed to work. And if you pay attention to it and obey it, you're on solid ground, my friend. The Bible is filled with what our priorities are to be as Christians. Are your priorities the same as the Bible's priorities? You're on firm ground. The Bible is replete with information that tell you how to be prepared for the next life in eternity. And if you live your life prepared for eternity, you're on solid ground. In fact, it's aptly been said, if you are prepared to die, you are prepared to live and really begin living. So important to be a part to make that foundation absolutely sure. To build your life upon that foundation. The Bible says that person is wise. I love it. Sensible, practical, prudent. They hear God and they obey Him. That's wise. They're spending their whole life building their whole life on something that will stand when all is said and done. That's wise. What kind of storms might a wise man face in this life? You know, we do face storms. What kind of storms can you be prepared to face, Christian? You who have built your life upon the Word of God? Well, there are just the ordinary storms, I think, again, just by living here on planet Earth. There's those things that you have to deal with. The wear and tear of life. And if you're following the Lord and you have your life built upon that foundation, you'll make it through all that. Hey, this life can be tough just walking around, you know? I think of Jesus. Jesus got tired. His public ministry, he got really tired. There were times where the daily grind had him out. So much so that he even one day fell asleep at the bottom of the boat in the middle of a storm. The disciples had to wake him up. Master, we're going to die. Where are you? Boy, he must have been bushed. He must have been tired. Daily bombardment of stress and pressure. Did you know that if you're a Christian, God also reserves the right to actually send you into a storm? Do you ever think about that? Ooh. We don't like that. God, you don't send me into a storm. I'm your child. Why does God send us into storms, folks? Because He wants us to be strengthened in our faith. He wants us to grow up and mature. You know, twice Jesus sent His disciples onto the Sea of Galilee knowing full well that they were going to face a storm. And the storms got worse. The situation got worse. The first time, Jesus was in the boat with them. Second time, Jesus wasn't in the boat with them. And then, of course, He came later walking out to them on that very storm, which terrified them so much. We can face storms like that. The Lord is just trying to increase our faith. Will we pass those tests? We need to. But you know, also as a Christian, you might face some satanic storms. You try to live godly and you watch. Hell wakes up. The enemy of God wakes up and wants to destroy your witness, wants to come against you. And he can bring storms against your life. But my friend, if you are founded on the Word of God and in obedience to the Word of God, the Bible says you will stand in the face of any attack. You'll stand. I love the story about the little kid. He was in Atlantic City, and he used to always go to the shore and make little sandcastles, and he was good at it. He made these awesome sandcastles. But every afternoon, these bullies would come by and kick the sandcastles down. And just, what a drag, you know? And so the next day, this kid built the same sandcastles, but inside he put bricks. Pieces of cement, rocks. And then, of course, he left before the bullies came. But you know, I think that's a lot like Satan. He comes to kick us and he gets a rock. You're protected, my friend. You're safe, my friend, if you will have a foundation that's on the rock. There are two ways to apply this passage today. This passage can, without a doubt, be applied to Christians. Remember, Jesus is speaking to Christians in the Sermon on the Mount. He's speaking to disciples. And he's telling, hey, this is the way you need to live, Christian, this righteous life. And it's a harder life. It's a life of discipleship. And it can be more challenging. But my friend, live it. live in obedience to the Word of God as a Christian, even if it's hard. Because I'll tell you what, I know Christians who have crashed. I've seen Christians crash. I've seen it happen. If you will put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you will honor His Word, if you will make it a part of your life, you're on firm ground. This passage could also be applied to the message of salvation, my friend. You know, the Bible teaches that one day God will pour out His judgment like rain upon the ungodly, upon the sinner. God is holy. Sin is not permitted in His presence. And one day all sin will be judged. All sinners will be judged by the Lord. That day's coming. And it'll be worse than any storm. It'll be a wind that blows like you won't believe. The person who has asked Jesus Christ to come into their heart to be their Lord and Savior, you know what? They are standing on the rock. In fact, God throughout the Bible is called the rock of our salvation. If you have put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've asked Him to be your Savior, on the day of God's judgment, you'll be okay. Why? Because Jesus has already paid the judgment for you. God sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins in our place. If you've accepted Christ, all your sins are forgiven. Jesus paid your penalty. You'll stand. If you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, on the day of judgment, there will be an absolute, total collapse to your little house. It'll be swift. It'll be terrible. What's your foundation, my friend? Now listen, the foundation really is inside each one of us. I mean, it's hidden. You know what your foundation is here this morning. Christian, you know if your foundation is up to par. You know who's really Lord of your life. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord and you just know it's sand. It's all shifting sand. And it's time right now for you to give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Or for Christians to come back to the Lord with all of their hearts and live life like they know they should. In the power of the Holy Spirit. So often the difference really is between... It's a matter of our pride. I don't need Jesus. I'll do it myself. I can handle it. You can't. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. Blow, O winds. Rise, O ocean. Break forth, ye elements, and try my work. Such was the boastful inscription put upon the first Eddystone lighthouse, built by the eccentric Win Stanley. His challenge was accepted, and one fearful night the sea swallowed up the tower and its builder at the same time. The next lighthouse built there met a similar fate. The structure and its builder, Rudyard, again perished together. The third lighthouse was erected by Smeaton, who built it all of stone, making it a part of its rock foundation so that the lighthouse penetrates it as a tree penetrates the soil. Upon this lighthouse, no vaunting inscriptions were placed, but on the lowest course were the words, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." The same is true of our life, my friend. Who owns your house? Who's building your house? May it be God Himself. May it be the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't suffer the crash. Maybe you're here this morning and you've experienced a crash. There's been a collapse in your life. I have good news for you this morning. Jesus Christ is an expert at putting houses back together. And if you've gotten on the track and you're in a bad situation, hey, come back to the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll never be through with you. He'll take you. He'll clean you up. He'll give you another chance. Let's bow our heads and let's commit this to the Lord. And I want to give us all an opportunity. Father, I thank you very simply this morning just for the fact that you want us to stand. You want us to be saved. You've given us everything that we need to know. We can face storms. And Lord, I just want to pray for all of us here right now. I just ask, Lord, that we would search our hearts. And maybe you're here this morning and you're a Christian who is not living the way you should. And just simply this morning, you just need to come back to Him. You need to make that step and just come back to your Lord. You know, take that stand with your family and say, as for me and my house today, we're going to serve the Lord. I will start serving the Lord. Don't wait for the crash. Or maybe you're here this morning and you have never had your sins forgiven, paid for. You can have your sins forgiven right now. You can ask Jesus to come into your life and to be your Savior. You can act upon that promise right now and watch your life be transformed. If you're here this morning and you want to give your life to Christ, or you want to come back to Christ, it's time. I want to give you an opportunity to do that in a tangible way. You just raise up your hand so I can see it. If that's you, it's just time. It'll make it really sit in your heart. Don't be afraid. Raise up your hand. Anybody here, you have just a few moments. God bless you right there in the back. I am building my life on the rock from this day forward. Anybody else? Make it solid. Make it true this morning. Decision time right now. You have one more moment. Anybody else? Lord, you see our hearts. We are bare before you. You know the one in this room who's crying out. You've seen her raise her hand. Lord, I pray that you would bless her. Just strengthen her, Lord. Help her to come back. Help her to begin building that life on the rock. And for anyone else, Lord, here who is just crying out in the inner depths of their soul, may you show them that you hear. And may you come and change and transform and renew. And Lord, help us all to depend upon you in this life daily. For we need your strength every day to live the type of life that you have called us to live. And I do pray for those who are facing storms right now that you would encourage them greatly. Help them to stand. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing this last song together as a prayer. We need Him. We need the Lord.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me, and I'm desperate for you, my Lord, and without you, and I'm desperate for you, my Lord, and I'm lost without you. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me.
Lord, absolutely, that's what we need, is dependence upon you. And Lord, I thank you that there is help in time of trouble with you. And then, Lord, I also thank you for all the wonderful times of absolute joy and peace that fills our life as believers upon the rock. You are the rock of our salvation. We stand firm on you. And I pray, Lord, that your people go forth greatly encouraged this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. If you need anything, any prayer requests, come forward. Love to pray with you and for you.